Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21. Our perek today opens with a difficult episode, and I call it difficult for several reasons. First of all, on a technical level, chronologically, it's a little hard to place. The commentators disagree as to when the events took place. Some suggest as early as a year or perhaps 3 years after Shaul's death, which would put it really chronologically at the beginning of our Sefer, while others argue it actually is in its proper place, much, much later in David's career. Based on the content, it does seem logical that the event took place much earlier, and it may be that the Navi placed this episode here because even though it may not belong here chronologically, it does fit thematically, as we have transitioned from the early part of the Sefer, which really focused on David's triumphs, to the latter part of the Sefer, which deals with the challenges that he faced. And this, you'll see, belongs in that thematically with that group. Further reasons for my calling it difficult will become evident as we proceed through the story. Let's begin. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayhi ra'av bimei David shalosh shanim shana acharei shana. Vayivakesh David et pnei Hashem. Vayomer Hashem el Shaul ve'el beit hadamim al asher heimit et hagivonim. There was a famine during the reign of David, and again, this is the difficulty, it says, bimei David, at some point during the days of David, for 3 consecutive years, and at the end of the 3rd year, David sought an answer from Hashem. Why is this happening? And Hashem said, for Shaul and for the blood of his house, for he put the Givonim to death. Several difficulties arise immediately. First of all, why did David wait 3 years before asking Hashem why the nation was suffering a famine? Secondly, what is meant by the reason that's given for Shaul and his having put the Givonim to death? And thirdly, if this was, in effect, a punishment for something that Shaul did, why is it taking place during the reign of David? The Gemara in Masechet Yevamot 78b explains that David did not immediately seek an explanation from Hashem for the famine because he assumed it must have been a punishment for some sin of which the nation was guilty and perhaps he was not aware. So the first year, he assumed there must have been idol worship among the people. Badku v'lo matzu. They checked all the houses and found no traces of idolatry. The second year, he assumed it must be some sin of immorality. And again, badku v'lo matzu. They checked and found no traces of immorality in the entire country. The third year, he thought perhaps people were withholding tzedakah, charity, from those in need. And again, badku v'lo matzu. They checked the entire country and found no evidence of such stinginess, which is all quite impressive. Finally, David turned to Hashem and said, there doesn't seem to be any obvious explanation for our suffering. Why is this happening? And Hashem answers, as we have seen, for Shaul and for his having put the Givonim to death. The king summoned the Givonim, and the text pauses here to remind us who the Givonim are. They are not members of Bnei Yisrael. They are the nation who deceived Yehoshua, acting as though they had come from far away, and he was tricked into making a covenant with them, swearing that he would not kill them. When the truth was discovered, Yehoshua decreed that they should become tree cutters and water bearers for the Jewish people. Shaul broke the covenant of Yehoshua when, in his zeal for the people of Israel and Yehuda, he had a number of them killed, and the remainder went into exile to escape death. As to when precisely this campaign took place, many of the commentators agree that it was connected to Shaul's destruction of the city of Nov, which you may remember was the city of Kohanim, whom Shaul had killed off because of their role in hiding David. And Shaul believed that the Givonim knew of David's whereabouts and did not inform him. So his killing of them was related to the destruction of Nov. So why, if this is a punishment for Shaul, why is it taking effect now, during the reign of David? Firstly, Hashem had said, El Shaul ve'el beit hadamim al asher heimit et hagivonim, for Shaul and for his having put to death the Givonim. Rashi explains that the first offense was that Shaul had never been properly buried. And in addition, there was also the unresolved matter of his having put the Givonim to death. Secondly, the Midrash poses this question in Bereishit Rabbah 25 and answers that suffering only befalls those who are spiritually strong enough to withstand it. Musar HaNevi'im explains that had this punishment befallen Shaul, he and his generation, who were spiritually weaker, might have questioned Hashem, whereas David, whose generation was so spiritually strong that no trace of sin could be found among them, could withstand what was going to become a challenge to their deeply rooted emunah. David said to the Givonim, "What shall I do for you in recompense? How can I atone so that you will bless the nation of Hashem?" The Givonim replied, "We have no interest in silver or gold from Shaul or his household, and no interest in taking the life of any man in Israel." And again, David asked, "What do you say that I should do for you?" So they replied, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, "Vayomru el hamelech, ha'ish asher kilanu, va'asher dimalanu, nishmadnu mehityatzev b'chol gvul Yisrael." The man who destroyed us and who tried to eradicate us from within the borders of Israel, "Yutan lanu shiv'a anashim mibanav, v'hokanum lashem b'giv'at Shaul b'chir Hashem." "Vayomer hamelech, ani etein." They demanded, "Give us seven of his descendants, that we may impale them before Hashem in Giv'at Shaul, the chosen one of the Lord." The king responded, "I will give them to you." The Giv'onim desired to demonstrate visibly that anyone who tried to violate the covenant of Yehoshua and kill them would be punished. The Gemara in Yevamot points out that the Giv'onim proved by their answer that they were not members of Klal Yisrael. The hallmarks of the Jewish people are that we are rachmanim, baishanim, v'gomlei chasadim, merciful, humble, and generous. Musar HaNevi'im explains that if the Givonim were merciful, they would not have demanded that people be put to death. If they were humble, even if they would have thought to do such a thing, they would have been too embarrassed to make such a public request. And if they were generous, they would have seen the suffering of the Jewish people after 3 years of famine and offered forgiveness in order to relieve the suffering of others. The commentators offer different reasons as to why David declared that he himself would hand the descendants of Shaul over to the Givonim. Abarbanel suggests that his motives were personal. As described in Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, David had pity on Mephibosheth because of the oath that he had sworn before Hashem never to harm any descendant of Yehonatan. Malbim explains that it's a legal concern. This is different from the case of Sheva ben Bichri, in which case an individual was specified to be handed over. He was deserving of death in any case, had no hope of escape, and had he not been handed over, would have endangered the lives of many more people. In this case, no individuals were specified, they were not deserving of death by the Beit Din, and therefore David has to exercise Din Melech, the law of the king, which is more elastic than the strict guidelines for capital punishment that are demanded of the court. Pasuk Chet, verse 8. Vayikach HaMelech et shnei b'nei Ritzpa bat Aya, asher yalda l'Shaul, את ארמוני ואת מפיבושת ואת חמשת בני מיכל בת שאול אשר ילדה לאדריאל בן ברזילי המחולתי. David took the two sons of Ritzpa bat Aya, Shaul's concubine, whose names were Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal bat Shaul and Adriel, the son of Barzilai HaMecholati. Adriel was actually the husband of Merav bat Shaul, and Michal was married to David, as we know. But Merav had died young, and Michal raised her sons, so they were now considered as if they were her own. And David handed them over to the Givonim, who impaled them on the mountain before Hashem, and all seven fell as one, and they were put to death at the beginning of the barley harvest, which is on Tetzayin Nisan, the second day of Pesach. Pasuk Yud, Vatikach Ritzpa bat Aya et Hasak, Vatatehula el Hatsur, Mitchilat Katsir, Ad Nitach Maim Alehem min Hashamaim, Velo Natna of Hashamaim Lanuach Alehem Yomam, Beet Chayat Hasadeh Laila. Rizpah bat Aya took sackcloth and spread it over the rock, and she remained there, guarding the bodies from the time of the barley harvest until the rain began to fall in the month of Cheshvan. And she did not allow the vultures to settle upon them by day, nor the wild animals at night. And David was told what she had done, and it roused his compassion. And David went and gathered the bones of Shaul and Yehonatan from Yavesh Gilad, where the people had stealthily brought them after retrieving them from Rehov Beit Shan, where they had been hung by the Plishtim on the day they had defeated Shaul in Gilboa. David brought the bones of Shaul and Yehonatan and gathered the bones of all those who had been impaled and buried them together in the portion of Binyamin at the gravesite of Kish, Shaul's father. And the people followed the king's command and mourned for Shaul, after which Hashem responded to the plea of the land and sent the rain to relieve the famine. Ultimately, though it is beyond our capacity to understand the specifics of why these seven innocent men had to die so brutally, we learn two lessons from the story. The first is, as we saw earlier, the impressive ability of those who are spiritually strong to accept the judgment of Hashem even when they don't understand it. Secondly, the Midrash tells us that even though we might have thought that this was a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, in fact, this episode led to a great Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name. As people said when they heard of it, if this is what Hashem demands in recompense from those who cause even insincere members of the covenant to suffer, how much more so would he demand justice from those who cause righteous converts to suffer? The second half of the Perek discusses a completely unrelated episode, which took place much later toward the end of David's life. As David's career began to draw to a close, we learn about four battles with the Plishtim. It is unlikely that all four battles took place in the short time remaining of David's Malchut. Rashi explains that the first battle did take place at this point, and then, having mentioned the death of one of the sons of the Rapha, which we will explain further in a moment, the text then reviews the deaths of her other sons in battles that had taken place previously. Pasuk Tedvav, verse 15, Vatzihi od milchama laplishtim et Yisrael, Vayered David v'avadav imo, Vayilachamu et plishtim, Vayaaf David. There was yet another battle between the Plishtim and Yisrael, and David and his men went down to fight, and David became tired. Pasuk Tetzayin, V'yishbi benov asher bi lidei harafa, U'mishkal keino 300 mishkal nechoshet, V'hu chagur chadasha, V'yomer lahakot et David. Yishbi benov, who was one of the children of the Rapha, whose spear weighed 300 brass weights, was wearing new armor and was determined to kill David. The Rapha may be translated literally as the giant, but Chazal teach us that this was a reference to Orpah, the sister of Ruth. They explain that when Ruth chose to cling to Naomi and return with her to Bethlehem, Orpah turned to the land of the Plishtim, where she prostituted herself and bore sons who were giants, Goliath, Yishbi Benov, and others of whom we are about to learn. Yishbi Benov was wearing new armor. Rashi explains that this was his inaugural battle, and it was customary for new warriors to prove themselves by some extraordinary feat of bravery, which is why he was determined to kill David. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 95b records a fantastic confrontation between Yishbi Benov and David, which is a little bit beyond our scope, but worth looking at if you have some time. We're going to stick a little more closely to the literal text. David was battle-worn and tired and in danger from this energetic and determined young giant. One point that's made in the Midrash that I would like to highlight is that when David felt threatened by Yishbi Benov, he said, "If only one of my nephews were here," perhaps feeling now is the moment to give vent to their hot tempers. And interestingly, it's not Yoav, but Avishai, who somehow senses in a supernatural way that David is in need of help and comes to his assistance, as we see in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Vayazor lo Avishai ben Suria, Vayachet haplishti vayimitehu. Az nishbeu anshei David lo lemor, lo teitse od itanu lamilchama, velo techabe et ner Yisrael. His nephew, Avishai ben Tsruya, came to his aid, and he struck the Plishti and killed him. the soldiers of David swore that David must no longer come out to battle with them, lest the candle of Israel be extinguished. Rashi explains that Avishai assisted David through tefillah, while others maintain that the help was, in fact, physical, aiding David to escape Yishbi Benov and to kill him. So this is the battle that took place towards the end of David's life. Now we review earlier battles in which other descendants of the Rapha, or of Orpah, were killed. There was another battle with the Plishtim in Gov, in which Sibchai HaChushati killed Saf, of the children of the Rapha. In yet another war in Gov with the Plishtim, Elchanan ben Ya'are, of a family of weavers from Beit Lechem, defeated Goliath Hagiti, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. In Divrei Hayamim, the Pasuk identifies his victim as Lachmi, who was a brother of Goliath. In a further battle in Gat, there was a man of gigantic measure who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot for a total of 26 digits, and he too was descended from the Rapha, or Orpah. He humiliated Yisrael, and David's nephew, Yehonatan ben Shim'ah, struck and killed him. These four were born to the Rapha in Gat and fell at the hands of David and his soldiers. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.